All right, church, let's have a seat, and we're going to get into God's word together. Hebrews 3, 1 through 6 is the passage today. Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, so you can turn there. And then our dear friend Maria Bohannon is reading this passage for us via video today, so enjoy this scripture reading.
Hi, Harvest. This is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope.
Amen. Thanks so much, Maria, for that scripture reading. And the title of the sermon today is Jesus, Head of Household. All right, Jesus, Head of Household, Hebrews 3, 1 through 6. And we've been talking about how Jesus has been building a family, and today we're going to see that he is head of household. So every year, I file my taxes, and I hope you guys do as well. I file my taxes, and when I file as head of household. What it does every year, beyond just the nervousness of filing my taxes and not wanting to do it wrong and get in trouble, right? One thing that I'm feeling is it makes me aware of my responsibilities. When I click that button that says head of household and I'm filing as head of household, I think there are people that I love very much who are dependent upon me. They're my dependents, because then it asks me the question, how many will you claim as dependents? And so in this moment of filing my taxes, I feel this. People are depending on me, and am I a faithful head of household? Now, the author of Hebrews, what he's been doing for the first few chapters is he's been substantiating for us that Jesus is supreme and he's superior, right? So that's chapter one. Then we get into chapter two and we see that Jesus has made a family and we are his brothers. He's the Son of God. We're brothers and sisters of Jesus. He's built a family. And Hebrews 3, 1 through 6 shows us this, that Jesus is head of household, and we are his dependents, all right? So that's so important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to understand this. He is head of household, not us, not me, not you. He is head of household, and we are his dependents. So as we look through this passage today, we are going to meditate this morning on three things showing us that Jesus is our faithful head of household and that we are his dependents, okay? We're going to explain how Jesus became head of household and what to know as his dependents. So here's the first thing, how he became head of household plus what we can know as his dependents. The first one is faithful Jesus delivered us, all right? Faithful Jesus delivered us from verses 1 and 2. So here's the first part of verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. All right, what an intro. Like we're into chapter 3 now, and this feels like a hinge point. It's looking back at chapters 1 and 2 and turning us toward maybe a new thought or developed thought. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. Now, we talk about this all the time, but so much of the scriptures is who we are in Christ. Many people come to the scriptures and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to learn how bad I am. I'm going to learn how much of a sinner I am. And that's true. The Bible does show us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But here we see that we as Christians are called holy brothers. Holy brothers and sisters, and that we share in a heavenly calling. So we who are in Christ have this title from the Lord, from God, from our brother in the faith, Jesus Christ. We have this title, holy brothers and sisters. And the question is, who made us holy? Who made us holy? And the answer to that question is Jesus made us holy. It's his righteousness applied to us, right? The idea in this passage isn't that somebody's hot dogging around like, I'm so holy, look at me, I'm so holy, right? We as Christians, we recognize that Jesus Christ has made us holy. He has given us his righteousness. And so we as Christians, we think we are made holy. We're holy brothers and sisters. We're made holy by the Lord. And then it says, we who share in the heavenly calling. And you know, all of us share many things. Like we share living in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. And we share being a part of a church that's loving God and loving one another and loving others. And this says that we share in a heavenly calling as well. Right? Think about this. All of us are going to have different futures. All of us are going to die differently from one another in some way, shape, or form. But all of us have the same exact future. We who are in Christ Jesus, we share a heavenly calling. Meaning, heaven is sure for us in Christ Jesus, and it's a calling, which means we're headed toward that, which means we're going to that, like magnetic, going to heaven. And that's awesome, and that set us on a course to be in heaven for all eternity with God. And that is so, so encouraging. We are holy brothers and sisters, and we have a heavenly calling, and we share that. I'll tell you what, right now, it is so absolutely important for us to have our eyes on what we share, what we have in common. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We share a heavenly calling. Everything out there other than Jesus himself is trying to divide us and split us up about this difference. You're part of this tribe, that tribe, whatever. But we see here such unity. We're holy brothers and sisters, familial language, future eternal language. We're called to a heavenly calling. That's where all of this passage starts, all right? And that's the end of the sermon today. Amen. Just kidding. There's more, all right? So look at this. We're seeing this as we grow. So now we know who we are. We're reminded of that. Look at the second part. It says, consider Jesus. So you who are holy brothers, you have a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was what? Faithful to him who appointed him, meaning God the Father, just as Moses also was faithful in God's house. All right, so listen, we're going to see this word faithful used multiple times in this passage, and we're going to see this word house used four times in these six verses. So definitely a theme here. That's why we're getting our sermon titled Jesus, Head of Household today. So the author of Hebrews, he's already said, remember the beginning of chapter 2, he said, pay much closer attention then to Jesus, right? He didn't say just pay attention. He said, pay much closer attention. So here he's using the same argument, but he's using this word consider. It says, consider Jesus. He's giving further reason to trust in Jesus in full. So to consider something, what does that mean? To consider, we're like, oh, think about. But here it means to concentrate. It means concentrate on. It means think deeply on. This isn't like glancing thought. This isn't, I've got 90 minutes where I'm going to consider Jesus, and then the rest of my life happens, and then I do 30 minutes of considering Jesus. This is consider constantly who Jesus is. All right? So Isaac Newton, one of the greatest thinkers of all time, he was able to synthesize onto paper forces that God has created, like the laws of gravity, like the laws of motion. And so he's thinking, like, I'm standing here, and why am I not floating? There's gravity, so what is gravity and what is causing that? And he's thinking about it, he's writing it all down, he synthesizes, he starts calling it things, and now we have a scientific understanding of all of this. And he was asked once how he was able to figure out so many things. How are you able, Isaac Newton, to figure out so many things? And his answer could have been like, I have a great laboratory, I have great research assistants, I have a brilliant mind, all right? But that wasn't his answer at all. His answer was very simple and very insightful. He says, I keep it before me. He said, I keep it before me. What that means is he was always considering it. He was always thinking about it. He was always thinking of why these things are what they are, to the point that eventually, because he was thinking about it so much, it produced a result of him understanding some things that now we understand and are taught in our schools. So for us as Christians, the author of Hebrews is saying, consider Jesus. And he's given us some specific things to consider. So we're not even going to say, like, consider everything about Jesus right now, because that could be really overwhelming, right? He's building an argument. So for today, we're just going to consider two things. And the two things are, number one, that Jesus is the apostle. And the second one is that he's our high priest of our confession, right? So what do those mean? This word apostle, where it says Jesus is the apostle, it's the only time in the New Testament that Jesus is referred to as an apostle. But notice it doesn't say Jesus an apostle, right? It says Jesus what? The apostle. Like, he's the apostle of all apostles. He's the apostle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, any other New Testament character name that you can think of, an apostle. Jesus is the apostle. And the word apostle means sent one. So is Jesus ever sent from anywhere? Yeah, he was sent from heaven to earth, right? Merry Christmas. All right, he was sent from heaven to earth. He's the apostle, and he came with a very specific reason. He was looking on the plight of mankind, broken, sin. We've got to help them. We've got to recover. He's fulfilling all the promises. He comes. He's the sent one of God. Secondly, is this word high priest. What does that mean? High priest means he's our one and only highest mediator between us and God. We're sinners. He's the Savior. He forgives us. He mediates between us and God. And remember last week, we talked about how Jesus disarmed the devil. Remember that? And so we have sin before God. And the devil's always like, see, here's his sin. Here's their sin. And Jesus is like, no, I paid for that. They're forgiven. He or she is forgiven. He's our high priest before God. That's who Jesus is. He came, he died, he was buried, he rose, and now he advocates for us. He's our high priest. So let me just ask this, like pose this sort of thought. What if we as Christians were always considering Jesus? Like just walking around, doing our daily thing, like always thinking about him, the way he loves us, the way he's gone to such extensive lengths to save us, to bring us to saving faith in him. What if we were always thinking about him? What if we're always thinking like, man, I just sinned and I need a savior. And we're thinking, yeah, he is my savior. He is mediating for me right now. He is my high priest. Or when you think, I feel so alone right now. I'm not connected to people like I usually am. I'm not doing things. You know, many of you have kids who are in school or not in school, or it's limited or it's virtual or whatever. They're alone and you're thinking, but we're not alone. Jesus was sent by God to love us and to care for us. We are loved by our Creator, considering Jesus. What if we were always doing that as Christians? Thinking about him, our Savior, all the time, considering who he is. It changes our mentality. It changes the way that we live. So Jesus is our faithful head of household, and we are his dependents because he delivered us. Faithful Jesus delivered us. He delivered us from sin into salvation, and then next, faithful Jesus gathers us, right? So he didn't just deliver us like individually and say, you're delivered, stay right where you are with who you're with. Now he gathers us. He gathers us into a family of faith, and we saw that last week, and he's building on it, the author right now. Faithful Jesus gathered us, verses 3 and 4. It says, for Jesus has been counted what? Worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. So like the author of Hebrews did when he was comparing Jesus to angels. You remember that? So that's chapter 1. He's comparing angels to Jesus. He's doing the same thing now, but with Moses. He's comparing Moses to Jesus. And the author of Hebrews isn't throwing angels under the bus. He's not throwing Moses under the bus. Like, let me come up with weak examples to make Jesus just a little bit better than weak examples. He is picking the best examples of what God has created, angels and Moses, and then he's saying, Jesus is much more worthy than these great examples. So he's already done that with angels. Now he's doing it with Moses, all right? Angels are revealed in Scripture, and Moses is revered even more. So let me prove it to you. This is Numbers 12, verses 6 through 8, okay? So this is God the Father speaking. He says, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." All right, just notice the words of that line. The author of Hebrews for sure is channeling Numbers 12 right into this passage. "He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord." That's amazing, right? He's got a close, like, sightline vision of the Lord in a way that no other human has really enjoyed and experienced. And then the last line, "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Right? Like, Moses has such a close relationship with me, and you're dogging him because of the way he's leading. Are you kidding me right now? He meets with me face to face. He's saying, "He is faithful in all my house." So the author of Hebrews, he's not throwing Moses under the bus. He's rather holding him high and proving that Jesus is convincingly more worthy of the esteem and the reverence that even God had of Moses. All right, so I've already told you that the word house is used four times in these six verses. And then verse 6, if you just scan down a little bit into verse 6, it says, "We are the house." Right, so what house is he talking about? He's not talking about brick and mortar. He's not talking about your house. He's not even talking about this church building. He's not talking about the tabernacle. He's not talking about the temples. He is talking about the people of God, in the flesh, people of God. You know what? That's us. Like, you could take all of us right now. You could put us out in the parking lot. We're still the people of God. You could take all of us right now. You could put us in Senegal, West Africa. Still the people of God. You could take all of us, put us on top of the Eiffel Tower on that little bitty thing, still the people of God, right? That's who he's talking about right here. And Jesus is the head of the household. We are the house. And what he's saying here, the author of Hebrews is saying, is that Moses was an integral person in the people house of God, but Jesus gathered the people house of God, okay? Check this out. This is John 5, verses 46. Jesus speaking about Moses. He said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." All right, so Jesus is teaching everything in the Old Testament, all the law, all of Exodus, all of Moses' life. It's pointing to who? To Jesus. So y'all, three quarters of your Bible, like right here, there's Matthew. For those of you on the front row who are heroes and sit up front, right? Matthew, right? All of this, Old Testament, pointing to Jesus. All of it. And Jesus confirms it, and he says that. He says, "Moses, he's writing of me." All right? So, I made a chart for you, because I love you as your pastor, all right? And I decided this week I would give it a really long title, and I'm going to read it really fast, okay? Just for fun, here it is. Seven proofs that Jesus is greater than Moses, and Moses is an enormous arrow to Jesus, plus a little Moses Bible study. All right, you ready? You ready for this? It's going to be great. All right, so here's the first one, okay? Moses turned the Nile to blood. Jesus turned blood to forgiveness. Number two, Moses yelled at Pharaoh, who is enslaving God's people. He yelled to Pharaoh, "Let my people go!" And Jesus yelled to Satan, who is enslaving people to sin. He yelled to Satan, "Let my people go." Here's the third one. Moses downloaded the law. You like my IT reference there? Love you, do that just for you. All right, and then Jesus dominated the law. That means he kept it perfectly. So when you see in your New Testament, Jesus fulfilled the law, it means he did the law perfectly. No other human could do that. He did it perfectly and therefore rendered it done so that now all of our faith can be in him and we're saved by him, by our faith in him, and by the righteousness he provides for us. Number four, Moses outlined the sacrifices. He outlined the sacrificial system as given to him by God after Exodus 20. And then Jesus is our final sacrifice. Praise God, right? Praise God. Right? When we go, when we've gone on mission trips to an unreached people group in West Africa, and they are regularly making blood sacrifices in the woods to atone for their sins, which is crazy because no one taught them to do that. They just know we're sinners, blood needs to be spilled. And we tell them, Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin. You can see their faces like, what? There's a final sacrifice? And you just realize, yeah, the Lord did that. God the Father knows we're sinners. He sent the Savior, right? Here's the fifth one. Moses interceded for the house, meaning he's praying, he's helping, he's leading, he's governing the people of God. But Jesus invented the house of God, right? He put it together. He bought us. Here's the sixth one. Moses met with God in a tent. Jesus is God in a human tent, in a flesh tent. And here's the seventh one. Moses is called the most humble man on earth. Jesus humbled himself to earth from heaven. So, church, do you see that Jesus is so faithful? He fulfills all the promises, all the prophecies, all the patterns, all of those things. He fulfills all of them. He did it faithfully. He did it wonderfully. He gathers up all the things that he needed to do in order to gather us back to God. He did it all, and he did it perfectly. He gathered us together. He delivered us. He's our head of household. He's our faithful head of household, and we are his dependents. He's gathered us together into a family. That's how he did it. And here's the third thing to meditate and consider this morning. It's that faithful Jesus secures us. Faithful Jesus secures us. So think about it. He delivered us, right? And then he gathers us, and now he secures us. So a lot of people think he just delivers us. And a lot of people don't even think he does that. He does. He delivers us, and then he gathers us into a family, and then he secures us. Verses 5 and 6. So look at this. It says, now Moses was faithful in all God's house. Again, like building up Moses. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a, what? Servant. To testify to the things that were to be spoken later. So again, he's a massive arrow to Jesus. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a, what? As a son. So you see here, and as a pastor, this is great. The alliteration is built in, right? Moses is a servant. And Jesus is a son. So Jesus like owns the house, is the house, is in the house for all eternity. And then by his grace, he brings people into the house to be servants. And by the way, this is the highest calling of our lives, verse 5, to be faithful in all God's house as a servant and to testify to Jesus Christ. That is our mission, right? That's what we got to be about. That's what it means to be a servant in the house of God. So what does this mean for us, that Moses served in the people house and Jesus is the head of household? It means this. It means that you are an adopted son or daughter of God. And I pray that that phrase never just becomes normal for us, right? We are outside of God because of our sin, and we're adopted back in because of Jesus. That is amazing. We're adopted sons or daughters of God, and that means we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. I think naturally we most quickly go, yeah, we're brothers and sisters to one another. That's the third thing I'm going to say in just a second. First, we're brothers and sisters of Jesus, as Hebrews 2 said. We're brothers and sisters of him. And then third, we are brothers and sisters of one another. Right? It's like the Son of God is throwing a party at his household, and we're invited not because we're the cool kids, but because we share the confession that we're sinners and he's our Savior. That's why we're there at the party that Jesus is throwing in God's house. And that brings us to our first hold fast verse in the book of Hebrews. I told you it was in there. All right. So here it is, the second half of verse 6. It says, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. All right? What a great verse. It's a hold-fast verse, and it's one of those verses that has a really nerve-wracking two-letter word in it, and it's that word, if. Right? So let me read it again. And remember, when we talked about this at the beginning of chapter 2, you read these verses, and the goal is feel a little uncomfortable but not afraid, right? Remember that Jesus secures us. Feel a little uncomfortable, like take stock. It says, we are his house, meaning we are his people, if indeed we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Okay? So this hold fast verse, just notice where it's placed, because a lot of people will think like, oh, look at this verse. What do I do? What do I do? It's all about my works. I've got to earn it. I've got to get there. I've got to be righteous enough. I've got to be holy enough. No, remember, we're made holy. He's done all the work. We rely fully on him. He's delivered us. He's gathered us, and he secures us. So the option for us here is to think he holds fast to us in so many of these ways. He is faithful to his promises. He's faithful to fulfill all the patterns, all the prophecies. He's delivered us. He's gathered us. He's our brother. He's our advocate before God. So the question is, will we hold fast to him who is holding so fast to us? He's done all of these wonderful things. He loves us so much. As we do pre-pray every morning, Ebony, every Sunday morning, Ebony says, Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. She always starts her prayers like that. I love it. Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. And that is who the Lord is for us. And so we think, I want to hold fast to that because everything else crumbles. We talk about the loose screws on the handles of everything else that we try to hold, right? Everything in the world is like, hold that, hold that, hold that. They all fall apart. They all come loose. But not the Lord Jesus, our Savior. So the question is, will you hold fast to him? Will you hold fast to him? Holding fast in this passage, in this verse, is about concentration. It's about considering Jesus so that you are confident in Christ, so that your boast is in him and not yourself. So that your boast is in him and what he's done for you rather than what you're trying to do for him or for yourself or for others. Your boast is in him. Your boast is in the fact that you're made holy, not that you are holy. Your boast is in the fact that you get to be a servant in the household of God, not that you are a servant in the household of God. Right? We hold fast to those. Y'all, there's so many counterfeits in our culture, things that we hold fast to. We always talk about them, but we're, you know, right now it's like this type of schooling, it's the best. Right now, we got to do this, we got to do this. We're holding fast to that, but man, it can drive us crazy. Just hold fast to Jesus, right? Things are going to change. Things are going to change. He never changes, right? We think like, oh man, who's going to get elected in a couple of weeks? Who's going to get elected? Everything's going to go crazy if this person or this person, whatever. Hold fast to the Lord, right? Max 4 or 8 years, right? Who's still supreme? Jesus Christ, right? Who's still our brother no matter what? Jesus Christ. Who are we still brothers and sisters with no matter what? Jesus Christ. Hold fast to him. Hold fast to him. Hold fast to him. Not all these other things. We hold fast to our abilities. We hold fast to our efforts. All of those things. Right? So listen, I shared an opening illustration about doing my taxes and clicking the button head of household and then clicking the button claiming these four dependents. And I didn't just open that way so that now you have a devotional next time that you're doing your taxes, all right? I did that because we tend to put so much pressure on ourselves to measure up and to carry all the load ourselves and to get everything just right. And when we fail, regret set in, and they dog us, or we just try harder, which I think is what the vast majority of us probably do. We just try harder. And Jesus is delivering us from that. Through this whole passage, through all of these verses, he's saying, listen, you're holy brothers and sisters. You have a heavenly calling that you share. All of these things are already yours. Right, all of these things that Moses wrote about and talked about, all of these things I've fulfilled, I've done for you, all these patterns I've completed. You don't have to do all of this work. You don't have to complete my work. This was my work. I did that for you. Now you enjoy it and you live in it and you hold fast to me and you be a light for me in this world. And have this confidence, have this boasting in me and not in yourselves and rest. He's saying rest, brother, rest, sister, rest in me and his finished work for us. Rest in his performance and not our own. He is the head of household and not us. So it is very good to know that we are not head of household, right? It's very good to know. Like, pressure's off on us trying to level up to some performance where God would look on us and love us. He already does. He already has, and he proved it by sending Jesus. And it's very good to know that he's faithful, right? Not only has God sent Jesus, not only has he given us the Savior, he's also sent Jesus, who was faithful in all these things. And Moses was super faithful, but Jesus was perfectly faithful. So we have a Savior who not only has come for us, not only is head of household, but he is faithful head of household every minute of every day within time and outside of time. That is our Savior. So he is so worthy of being our head of household. And it is a great decision to be dependent upon him. So that's the closing question today. Are you a dependent of Jesus Christ? I am. I know many of you are. And if you're not, you place your faith in him and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need life through you because I can't get it on my own. And Jesus saves you by your grace through your confession. Let's hold fast to Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you that we can be in your word and we can see these tremendous examples of angels and then of Moses and how revered they are in the scriptures, but how the author of Hebrews puts you far above them, convincingly above them, as worthy, as the only one who is reasonable for us to cling to. And we praise you, Jesus, that you are that for us. And I pray, Lord, for all of us this year, as we're focusing on this phrase, hold fast, and as we're seeing that you are worthy of our holding fast, that you would help us through it, God. So many pressures in this world. Jesus, as you know, is our high priest, as tempted as we are yet without sin. There's so many pressures that are pulling us away from you, that are trying to pry us off of you. And if we get good at resisting one, there's another one that pops up. It's like constant whack-a-mole, just constant. Lord, we need your help. We thank you that you've given us your Spirit. We thank you that you've given us the angels. We thank you that you've given us your word. We thank you that you've given us one another. We want to hold fast to you, Lord. Thank you that you do. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would live more and more with concentration, considering Jesus, the apostle, our high priest, you, Lord, head of household, us as your dependents. We pray this in Jesus' name and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.